Father, we've been singing to you about the blood of your dear Son that was shed on the cross. And Lord, we could keep singing into the afternoon and evening and not give you the glory that is due your name because of that shed blood. It's the answer. It's the answer to everything that we ask. And Lord, all we can say in response is thank you. We who have sinned did not deserve it. But you who love and are full of grace gave it anyway. Thank you. Father, for those this morning who are burdened, I know there are several with health concerns and health crises that, well, Lord, they're pretty grievous right now. Come close today, this week, to them. Father, those who can't be with us today because of health issues, encourage their heart. Draw near to them, Father, as if they were here to draw near in the presence of this congregation. For those who face other crises, whatever it may be, Lord, you've already given us the answer, and we want to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're over in John chapter 14. If you haven't been with us before, we study verse by verse through the Scripture. I guess I could come up with a list of the books that we've been through the years, but I'd miss a couple probably, but we're moving through the Gospel of John, the book of John, one of the four Gospels, and we're to chapter 14. Jesus is just hours away from shedding the blood that we sang about this morning, the blood that has the answers to everything that we face, everything that we need. The blood of Jesus Christ. And this morning's teaching is a little bit rare because we could, five words basically is what it is about, with some commentary probably. I am, that's the title, and the plan, the path, and the promise. That's where we're going to go. So let's read these verses in John 14. Jesus, as you know, Perhaps he is with his disciples, the 11. Judas is left. He has just a few hours before they're going to go out across the Kidron Valley into the Mount of Olives, and Gethsemane, I'm sorry. And they're going to come, they being the Jews and the temple guard, actually is who's going to come. And they're going to come and arrest Jesus. Before they get there, he is going to resign his will to the Father's will. And then they will come and arrest him and take him. And they will try him. I think by count there are six trials that he will face. Then he will carry a cross, the Roman means of execution those days, to a place called Golgotha. They will nail him to the cross. His blood will be shed. And he will die there about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday. They will bury him before the Passover begins at sunset that night, but then on Sunday morning, that huge stone in front of that grave is going to be rolled away, and he will come out. And folks, that is our hope in these hours that I just described. So let's read beginning in verse 3, okay? Well, let's start verses 1 and 2, okay? That way we'll have everything where we need it to be. Let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus said to the 11, only 11 people with him here. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you, that? I go to prepare a place for you. What he's saying here is, if it were not so, would I have told you? Okay, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, verse 3, And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Verse 5. Thomas, one of the 11, spoke up and he said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The title probably caught you a little bit off guard. I am. And you were waiting perhaps for me to finish that. I finished it. I am. I am. Jesus is the I am. 8 times in the Gospel of John, he refers to I am. I am the bread of life, etc. 8 times. And we find one of those in our passage this morning. The first time that we heard this statement, I am, is over when Moses was in front of the burning bush. Moses, who is 80 years old at the time. So those of us who are a little bit up in years, relax, okay? He just now come to get us to use us, maybe, like he did Moses. And he met Moses. Moses is hiding. He had killed an Egyptian. He was raised in Pharaoh's house, as you know, but he ran for his life. And he's out there on the backside of the desert, literally working as a hired hand for his father-in-law of all people, taking care of sheep. And so I'm sure he's in the retirement mode. It's over. Hey, okay, me and the sheep, that's the way it's going to be. And on one particular day out there, he saw a bush afire. And he noticed something strange about it. A dry bush burning, but not being burned up. And he made a good decision. He said, I'm going to go over there and see what's going on. And when he got over there, Jehovah God spoke to him from that burning bush. And some would say, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Because what he said to him out there was, he said, Moses, go get my people. About 1 million descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob are slaves in Egypt. It's time to go to the land that God promised Abraham. And they are in bondage. He said, go get my people. And Moses was reluctant, to say the least. And one of the things, about 3 things, he gave excuses. And one of the things he said to God, well, who am I supposed to say that's sending me? And God said to him, you tell them, I am is sending you. I am who is sending you. Jesus said in John chapter 8, we've already been there, before Abraham was, I am. He said this in the presence of several Jewish leaders. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. They were talking about Abraham, and Abraham, they thought they had the inside track with him. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And you know what the Jews did instantly when he said that? They picked up stones to kill him. Well, gee whiz, okay? That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Because what Jesus said to them was, I am. And they knew who the first person to say, I am has sent you was. And Jesus is saying, I am God. And that's why they were going to stone him. This Hebrew word translated I am is actually a verb. If you Hebrew scholars will permit, okay? The verb is H-A-Y-A-H. And what it means is to become, to exist. And so this, that we have come to understand it is, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come. And you'll find that over in Revelation. So that's who Jesus is saying he is when he says, I am. And he makes 8 of those statements in Scripture. All right. With that background, let's look at the plan that Jesus has. Remember the condition of the disciples, now the 11. Their hearts are troubled. I would guess this morning, we could kind of go row by row here, chair by chair, and we might find a couple of us with troubled hearts? I'm guessing we would probably find most of us, for some reason, with troubled hearts. Well, Jesus recognizes that, and listen, he recognizes it in you and me when we have a troubled heart. But he recognized this, and he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Well, they had left everything that they knew and had. I mean, you want to talk about a career change, they experienced it. These folks were fishermen, tax collectors. They were gainfully employed. Maybe had some good business opportunities out there. I don't know. But Jesus walked by one day and to each of them said, "Follow me." They left it all. They left what they had and they left their family even. And if they had families at that time, and they did, some of them, and followed Jesus. They were all in. They invested their whole being, their whole livelihood, all that they were, all that they had, they invested it. And now Jesus is telling them, "I'm going away and you cannot come." Now, I don't know about you, but that would kind of get my attention, and that would cause my heart to be troubled as well. And their hearts is troubled. Jesus says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." And he gave them the solution to the troubled heart, the same solution that will cure your troubled heart and my troubled heart today. And he said, "Believe in God, believe in me. I don't care who you are this morning. I don't care what you bring with you. I don't care what you're facing. That is the solution to your troubled heart. Believe in God. Believe in me." Jesus is the one that said this. Covers everything. There's not anything in the bounds of humanity that will supersede this solution to your troubled heart today. What he's really saying to them is, resign. In America, we don't like this too well, but what he's saying is, give it up and give over to me. I will take away your troubled heart. Now, you know, I could say that, and you could say, "Oh, who are you?" Which would be a good question. Chuck Lins could say that, and you'll say, "Who are you?" Well, we probably couldn't pull it off either. This is the God of the universe. He's the one that's saying it. Give up and give over to me. Believe the Father. Believe me. In most cases, resignation is all we can do. Now put that one on this morning. Think about, I learned this a long time ago. I don't know where I heard it. Maybe you've heard it more often than I have. I don't know. But don't worry about what you can't control. Now that's good advice. If you can control, do something. But don't worry about what you can't control. What he is saying here when he says, "Believe God, believe also in me," give up and give over and let me deal with the issue, because you can't do anything about it anyway. Jesus had told them, "Where I'm going, you cannot come." What can they do about that? Do you know most of the things that we face, we can't do anything about them? So why do we lose sleep? Why do we elevate blood pressure? Why do we ruin our health if we can't do anything about it? And I like to say this, and some of you get a little angry with me when I do, but you're facing this, whatever it is, and I look in and I tell you, a billion Chinese could care less. The first time I heard that is after a high school football game, and I thought I was God's gift to coaching, and we got pounded. And a guy walked up, and you know, and he could tell he said, "John," he said, "a billion Chinese could care less about this football game in Southwest Missouri." He put it into perspective. Most of our issues can be put into that context and that perspective. The things that just rip us, okay, really, all we can do is resign them to the Father. And that's what Jesus was saying to these. The path of God is established by his sovereignty. These guys are headed down a path that they did not plan, they did not orchestrate, and they have no way out. One of them took a way out, Judas, but even that was prescribed for him. He's called the son of perdition. Jesus knew it ahead of time. But the path that he sets for us, he set for them, was that they are going to, when he goes out to the garden, they're going to go with him to pray. They won't. They'll fall asleep. Then they're going to come and arrest Jesus, and they're running then. They're scattering. He's already told Peter, you're going to deny me three times, and he did, before the rooster crows. And then, folks, give or take about 50 days later, this group of fishermen, tax collectors, for the most part cowards, are going to do what Jesus told them, to go to Jerusalem and wait. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, will come. And their lives are changed forevermore, and so are yours and mine. Because the power that was poured out in those first 11 guys turned the world upside down. And you and I are here in these chairs this morning because we have believed the message that they took to the world that has come down 2,000 years to you and me. Or you're here today seeking that very thing. So this is the path. And he not only tells them he's going away, but also he tells them the purpose for his leaving, to prepare a place for them. And not only that, he tells them, I'm coming back to get you. I mean, what's there to worry about if he's taking care of all of it? Which he did, and he promised he did. This preparation that he's talking about involves him going to the cross and dying for their sins. Their sins are covered. They can now go to the Father's house, he talks about. Where's that? Wherever the Father is. It's the Father's house. And because of what I'm going to do, you're going to be eligible to go. And if you have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a room also. You have a room also. You say, you really don't believe that, do you? With all that I am, I believe that. And hundreds of other people in this room with all that they are believe that. Now, we're either the dumbest hicks that have ever been around, or we've got a place reserved in the Father's house. I'm going with the latter. With all that I am. And also, as he goes ahead of them, he's going to become their intercessor, we learned last week. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, the Scripture tells us, ever to make intercession for you. What does that mean? We won't go into the detail we did last week, but we can cry out, Abba, Father, and the God of this universe hears. Without Jesus there as our intercessor, that's not going to happen. But he is our Lord, he is also our intercessor, and so we can ask in his name, and that gets the Father's attention. He tells them he's coming back to get them. We may spend a lot more time with that next week, okay? Well, where is where? Where is where I am? And that's all we need to know. Do you want to be anywhere else besides where he is? Think about it. That's the place I want to be. Wherever you are, Lord, I want to be there. Because everything else is not going to be. It's not the most blessed place you can be. It's the safest place you can be. Wherever he is. He said, where I am, that's where you will be. Where I am, there you will be also. That's the plan. That's the plan that Jesus unfolds for these 11 and for each of us who have repented and believed today. All right, I said there was a second word, and that's the path. The path is, and you know the way to where I am going. The path. Could be a four-lane highway, I guess, but it's the path. He said, and you know the way to where I'm going. You want to go where I am going? Then here's the path. He tells them. Well, Thomas, not Peter. All right, you expect Peter to be front row on this one. I think he's a little bit, well, Jesus just told him, you're going to deny me three times. He's not feeling real well. He's feeling a little defeated. Peter doesn't say anything, but Thomas speaks up. Thomas, one of the 11, he's the one who's going to doubt that Jesus was raised from the dead. Remember? All of the others believed. And Thomas said, yeah, right. I won't believe unless I can put my finger in the nail prints of his hand and thrust my hand into his side. That's the only way I'll ever believe that he's raised from the grave. Well, he had his chance. And he didn't try to put his finger in the nail print of his hand. He just cried out, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, blessed are those who believe and who do not see. That's you. That's me. Those who have believed and we haven't seen the resurrected body of Jesus. We will, but we haven't yet. So Thomas, he's going to abandon Jesus. He's going to doubt Jesus. But do you know that Thomas, tradition tells us, died in India for the cause of Christ, gave his life taking the gospel into that great continent of humanity called India. But Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Seems like the natural thing to say. Thomas had a problem, though. Same problem that you and I have. He's not listening. Jesus has already told him. He's not listening. Thomas said, how can we know where you're going, or how can we know the way? We don't know where the way is or where you're going. But he's already told him. Thomas wasn't listening to the words of Jesus. Jesus had already told them, I'm going away. I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas, what more do you need to know? But Thomas and you and me have the same problem. What Jesus had plainly told Thomas is what they should do while he was going and would be gone. Believe. Believe in God, believe also in me. What Jesus told them was where he was going. He's going to the Father's house. Why is he going? To prepare a place for you. What are they to do until he comes back? Wait. Wait. Because when I come back, I want to take you to myself. He answered everything they needed to know. But Thomas wasn't listening, I guess. But we suffer from the same problem, don't we, believers? Yeah. Not listening to and believing Jesus' words. You see, he has told us everything that we need to know for now and eternity. And not only did he tell us, he wrote it down. And I would imagine we could count today, there's probably several hundred Bibles in here, right? He has already told you and me everything we need to know for now and eternity. You cannot come up with a topic or a subject that is not addressed by this book. I'm not messing with you. It's there. folks, it would be enough for him to just say to us, and this is just a spattering, okay? How about this one? My grace is sufficient for you. Name something that exceeds the grace of God that has or will come into your life. Go ahead. Well, that's just one of thousands, okay? Also, he said, glorify my name. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. That answers a lot of things. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Is this a, does it glorify God? Would you invite Jesus to go with you to do whatever? The answer, glorify my name in all you do. The one we looked at last week, cast all your care on me, all your care on me, for I care for you. But we can get really specific. Any question that you have, the Word of God speaks to it. Most of the time, very specifically. His response to you and me is the same as His response to the 11. Believe in God, believe also in me. Believe what He says, believe what I've done. That's the path. All we lack now is the last word, the promise. Jesus said here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man or woman comes to me except through the Father. Excuse me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's the promise. That's the promise. Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. I'm going to make preparations for you. I'm coming back to take you where I am, and where I am is to the Father. But you don't get to go there just because you want to. All right? And you don't get to create the conditions for going there. They have already been established. Here they are. First of all, he said, I am. There's that phrase again. I am the truth. I'm sorry. I am the way. We'll get to the truth. Don't run out, okay? I am the way. Folks, there is no other way to the Father except through Jesus, who is the way. Now, you think that's pretty hard nose. It's an either or. You see, we live in a land of compromise, and we have to be tolerant, those kinds. God's not tolerant, and He doesn't compromise. He is absolute. And in His absoluteness and in His sovereignty, Jesus said, I am the way. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people, most of the world, in fact, is trying to find another way, or think they have found another way. I mean, there's everything under the sun. Thousands of different denominations exist in this country, around the world. I don't know. This is why it's a narrow way. There are very few that have believed Jesus is the way. Now, folks, that's why it's by faith. By grace through faith. That's what you have to believe. That Jesus is the way. You say, I don't like that. Well, you know, I don't want to sound, you know, rude or anything, but that's the way. We don't get to call the we don't get to make up the rules. Wouldn't that be chaos if we got to make up the rules? He makes up the promise and doesn't make it up. It is the promise. I am the way. It's not debatable. Ignore Jesus and you will miss eternity in the Father's house, because He is the way. In Him and through Him alone is the forgiveness of sin. One sin, I don't care what it is, kicking the speaker, that's a sin, all right? I don't know what it is, but maybe it is. All right. And he's getting nervous over there. Don't do that again, you know, okay? If that's all I did, all right? And that was a sin, and that's all I did, that little kick the speaker, or whatever minuscule sin is in your life, that's enough to make you unholy and keep you from the presence of Jehovah God. I didn't check the latest tally. I've got a couple more than kicking the speaker that I can't do a thing about. I have kids and grandkids here this morning, and I don't want to venture into the places I've walked and been. Folks, the reason I'm all in on Jesus being the way, because I can't take care of all that I've done that God calls sin. It's my only hope. I have no other hope. I couldn't kill enough sheep if killing sheep, like it did before Jesus came, took care of sin. And that's just me. And Jesus said, I am the way. In Him and Him alone is there forgiveness of sin. He is the only way for you as well. He also said, I am the truth. Now that's a debatable issue today of whether truth even exists. We are more and more sliding toward anarchy, where there is no truth. Truth is whatever you want it to be. That is a lie. There is truth, because Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the truth. In any situation, there is truth, and I am the truth. Now, there's going to be a lot of lies spread about as well. They are coming mostly from the world, the flesh, and the devil. You see, they speak into situations as well. So when Jesus said, I am the truth, that's a big deal. Around here, if you've been with us very long, we know that truth is what God says and what God sees. Now wear that one for a while. Truth is what God says. After all, He said, I am the truth. So what He says is true. So whatever God says is true. You can believe the Word then, because it's true. Because it's what He said. And it's what He sees. When He looks at your life and my life on an individual basis, He determines if it's truth or not. We don't get to debate the issue. We don't get to bring evidence. He speaks about what He sees, and what He speaks is truth. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. This is a, in some cases, sad reality. One of these days, all of us are going to die. Okay? We don't have very many years guaranteed. We're just a blip on the radar of time. 70, okay? The reality is, if Jesus Christ doesn't come back before you die, you will die. And I will die. And I don't want to be be morbid today, but somehow we think walking around here that we're somehow going to last forever here. I'm sorry. I've been looking in the mirror lately. You want a thrill ride? Get you a picture of when you were in your 20s or 30s like I did the other day, and then look in the mirror. This is true. This is true. Life as we know it is not going to continue here very long, even for the little ones. You turn around and where's it gone? Jesus said, I am the life. So the reality is something is going to happen after you and I die. Again, you got a wager on that one. You're betting one way or the other. I don't mean to, I'm not a gambler, but you are, okay? I understand in the poker world, they talk about all in. Have all of their chips, all of their money, and they have a hand of cards, and they think they got it, or they're bluffing, and they push it out there and they say, I'm all in. Hey, I'm all in on Jesus. No reservations, nothing held back. If you are yet to believe, you are betting that what he said is a lie. You're betting your eternal existence, that he is not the way, not the truth, and not the life. Folks, that's a high stakes game. That's a high stakes game. And there is a winning position and a losing position. Jesus said, I am the life. There is life after death. It's either in his Father's house with him, or it's in the lake of fire where everyone who rejects him will spend eternity. You don't get just to die and it'll be over. There is a second death after the first death. So I guess the option here is, do you want two lives or a life and two deaths? I would choose the first. Because that's the only place where he's going to be. That's his Father's house we looked at last week. That's called heaven, we understand, okay? And he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Can you beat this deal? He has promised, we looked in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know what that means? All that you need and more to give. And I am even covering eternity. If you believe in me, he said, then when you die, you come into our presence. The Father and me. He's got both covered. What's your option if you are yet to believe? Slog around in life with all the worries, frets, and all that kind of stuff, and all it's, there's some trinkets out there, I guess, but most of the time it's, well, you know what it's like if you've lived very long at all. What do we say to each other when we meet? How was your week? Why are we even asking that question? Because the week had ups and downs. And we haven't even talked about when that last breath is taken. You see, in Christ and Christ alone, both are covered. There are a lot of supposed options out there. A lot of people are willing to put something up. But Jesus said, I am the truth. And that should also read, I am the only truth. Everything else is a lie. No one can come to the Father except by me. In Christ and Christ alone, there's life. What have you done about what he said? I am the way, the truth, and the life. This morning, October the 11th, 2015, what have you done about what Jesus said? Every one of us have done something in response to what he said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I believe. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nope, I don't believe. One or the other. Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we sang about the shed blood of Jesus Christ, Father, my heart was set at peace, and there was an exhilaration I can't describe, Father, because I knew it was the blood. Not anything I've done or could do, but the blood that covered all of the sins that I have committed or will commit. Thank you for that. And Father, so many in these chairs this morning can say, me too. Me too. I also am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then Father, when we read on and we hear that you've gone to prepare a place and that you're coming back to get us, Lord, what is there to be anxious about? Forgiven of all of our sins. And the confidence that when we pass from this life, we're present with you. Thank you. Thank you. Indeed, to God be the glory. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.